How is confessional Lutheranism similar to and different from American evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is titled Being Lutheran. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Save $2 by ordering Being Lutheran during the month of May. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Being Lutheran.
This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws that followed the Emancipation Proclamation. We saw it in the fierce and widespread resistance to Brown v. Board of Education. And we saw it in the proliferation of state bans on same-sex unions that were intended to stifle any hope that gay and lesbian Americans might one day be afforded the right to marry.
That's Attorney General Loretta Lynch equating transgender rights, the hope of transgendered advocates, with the hopes of African-American civil rights movement. Have you ever noticed that the definition of bigot just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger? You think you're safe from it, and then they move the goalposts. They redefine the word, and something that you never even thought about, like, say, transgender rights, suddenly you find out you're a bona fide bigot. You'd never thought about it before, but there's the Attorney General saying you were, as she said, discriminatory responses. I think she simply meant bigoted responses, bigoted attitudes. That's it, to be quite honest, with the ever-expanding definition of the word bigot. I mean, you just mark my words. You think you're safe now. You say, okay, I'm going to become an advocate of transgender rights too. There's going to be another expansion of the definition, and you're going to have to work your way out of being a bigot one more time, probably many more times. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about transgender advocates with Pastor Hans Feeney, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Why Transgender Advocates Don't Believe Anything They Say. Then we'll do our series Christ in the Old Testament today, Proverbs 8, Wisdom's Call. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Our call-in number for the next hour with your questions and your comments, welcome 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners can use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about transgender advocates, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist with his recent column there, Why Transgender Advocates Don't Believe Anything They Say. Hans, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You write this, and I want you to answer your own question. If, for example, Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, has always been a woman, why did ESPN stop short after crowning her Sportswoman of the Year? Why didn't ESPN refuse to do business with the NCAA until it stopped doling out the same oppression to student athletes it forces to compete in men's and women's lacrosse? Why didn't they?
Because they don't believe it. This is sort of the kind of the central argument that I'm making in the piece. I know oftentimes people feel like you're getting into a little bit dicey category of trying to figure out what people really believe and what they don't. But I think obviously people's behavior oftentimes gives a very good indication of what they actually believe. And so the argument that transgender acceptance advocates make, whatever you would call them, is so that when it comes to the runner formerly known as Bruce, the idea is that gender and sex are separate. So that there's your sexual designation based on your anatomy, and then there's this inner thing called gender, which is what you feel. And their argument is, well, for most people, those two line up together, but there are some people for whom they're separate. So you have someone who's biologically male, and yet will feel that he is a female, and therefore is a female, and in fact, many will say always has been female. So the whole point with someone like Bruce Jenner was that here you have a person who was supposedly oppressed his entire life because he was by living in a world that segregates according to sexual organs rather than gender. He was forced to compete in men's athletics rather than women's, which he should have been, because he should have been free this entire time to be himself. So if we had just lived in a world that was more accepting, he would have been free to embrace his true gender, which was supposedly female. So therefore, this is the source of his bravery, was that he finally overcame these shackles of living in a world that says, well, if you have male parts, you compete with men in these Olympic events. But the reality is that if that's what the people at ESPN actually believed, if they actually believed that Bruce Jenner was being brave and that he was also being truthful in saying, I have always been a woman and therefore was oppressed by the sports world that did this to me. Well, if that's what ESPN believed, then they wouldn't perpetuate the same stuff themselves by, airing stuff like, women's basketball versus men's basketball, by having partnerships with the NCAA, which segregates according to male and female biological sex in the same way that Bruce Jenner endured throughout his career. So ESPN is still engaging in the same thing that supposedly Caitlyn Jenner was brave for transcending. So if they actually believed that this was an act of bravery, then they wouldn't do that. In the same way that if ESPN believed that it was, if ESPN was giving people awards for proudly standing against the consumption of meat products, if they said that it's wrong to eat meat, and therefore someone was being very brave standing up to this, it would undercut their position if after that awards program was over, they cut away to to Kobayashi in the hot dog eating contest. And so you'd recognize, all right, well, you're doing two things that are at odds with each other, and one thing that stands in contrast to what you're holding up as a moral good. So if ESPN is still engaging in sports that are segregated according to biological sex, and they're claiming that this is what Bruce Jenner was so brave to overcome, then of course they don't actually believe what they're saying. It's just what we call virtue signaling, just an exercise in patting themselves on the back for being righteous.
Go into that virtue signaling. I guess the basic question is, if they don't believe it, why do they keep saying it so strongly?
Yeah, well, it's because the culture that we're in basically says, this is kind of what I'm getting at in the piece, is that when you live in a world where people don't know where righteousness comes from, and they don't know how to get it, and they don't have an answer to the question, how can I be a good person, and how can I be confident that I can stand before God in judgment one day? When people don't know how to get that, when they've cut themselves off from the church that's proclaiming that, from the Bible that's proclaiming that, then they're just sort of lost in the darkness trying to find whatever they can and trying to cling on to whatever they can cling on to in order to give themselves the righteousness that they think it's going to appeal to them. And I think, and for people who have bought into kind of modern notions of egalitarianism, as well as who have fully embraced the sexual revolution, and who have kind of view themselves as in keeping with the civil rights movement, as we kind of heard in one of the opening clips there, I think what you get is you get people who have become convinced that the way you become righteous is to defend a group of people who have previously been marginalized, to convince yourself that they are somehow being mistreated, and to speak out in defense of of some marginalized group that people have not been speaking out in defense of before. And it just gets to the point where you kind of run out of groups after a while, and you run out of legitimate causes after a while. But it just gets to the point where people just become convinced, well, even if I don't actually believe that this group is really all that marginalized, even if I don't really buy the stuff that I'm saying, just simply going through the motions of speaking in defense of some group that no one was defending before, and showing yourself to be more kind and moral and good and just and accepting than the rest of the world, even if you don't actually believe what you're saying, it's just simply going through the motions gives you the righteousness that you're trying to acquire.
Talk a little bit about what I mentioned at the outset, and that is, I think of it as the constant moving of the goalposts, or the ever-expanding definition of the word bigot. I hadn't even given really any thought, and maybe that's just how bigoted I have been my entire life. I hadn't really given any thought to gender dysphoria, transgenderism, up until about a year ago or so. Maybe occasionally, maybe once every 2 years, I'd see something that might make me think about it in passing, but I never gave it any serious thought. Lo and behold, Hans, I discovered that I am a bigot.
Right.
I wasn't like 10 years ago, and none of my views have changed. I haven't even really thought about it or acted on any thoughts about it. But the definition of bigot expanded to include me when transgenderism became the issue of the day.
Yeah, it is. There is actually something almost, I mean, it is. This is very much a religion of its own, this kind of weird leftist stuff that's just searching for new causes. Because what it does is it comes along and it says there's righteousness that comes to you for embracing something that didn't even exist 5 minutes ago. So there is almost something almost kind of religious about this. It's just sort of in a weird, corrupt way, almost kind of mirrors something like the institution of baptism, where you know you would say, all right, well, prior to the institution of baptism, this was no sacrament, but after its institution, there you have a sacrament that gives to us righteousness and gives to us salvation. And in the same way with this, where you just go, well, look, 5 minutes ago there was no such thing as gender identity. The idea that you have a gender, you have an internal gender sort of that's a part of your being that is attached from your biological sex is something that no one even thought existed, outside of women's studies college professors prior to about 5 minutes ago. And yes, and this is the amazing thing about it, and yet the same people who you know full well didn't believe any of this stuff 5 minutes ago because it didn't even exist anymore, it didn't even exist back then, are now convinced that they are righteous and you are not because they've embraced the new sacrament or the new church or the new means of righteousness, and you've cut yourself off from it. So the reality is that this cry of bigot doesn't have any real bearing on how it is that do you actually treat people. I mean, this is why it is that nobody wants to just simply have the conversation, well, when you're dealing with a man who believes that he's a woman, what's the loving way to treat him? And is the loving way to treat him to egg him on in his delusions and in his mental illness, or is there a better path of treating him in a loving way that seeks to get him the help to see that he is what his anatomy says he is? So no one wants to actually have that discussion because it's not really a discussion about loving your neighbor. Rather, it's just that this issue just serves as the new way of getting yourself, making yourself righteous, so that the second you can scream bigot at someone, it's sort of like a religious experience where the more you can shout it at other people, the sort of the more you can smush them down, and the higher up you lift yourself by comparison. So you become, this is just always how self-righteousness works, is that you're never going to be as righteous as God. And so the way you make yourself appear to be righteous is just by crushing everyone beneath you. So there are kind of, old-fashioned pharisaical ways of doing this, and then what we have today is you have a bunch of people who don't want to lead sexually pure and decent lives, so the way they become convinced that the way that you become righteous is actually embracing every kind of form of sexual perversion and mental illness that's kind of somewhat tangentially associated with that. And you just yell bigot at anyone who doesn't hop on board the train of new righteousness. And it's in the act of doing that you're making yourself a more righteous person.
Well, it's got to be exhausting, Hans. I mean, you got to basically be on the lookout 24/7 for the next new orthodoxy. It's kind of like always waiting for some sort of new revelation from the gods. What are they going to hand down next that I must immediately embrace and wholeheartedly advocate in order to maintain my righteousness?
Yeah, well, this is the funny thing about it, and this is why it shows that it's just such a soul-crushing, crippling religion that these people have really embraced. Because, most religions are by nature somewhat evangelistic. That's not necessarily the best term to use for it, since it really only applies to Christianity. But most religions seek to convert people and seek to bring people into your worldview and your understanding of how you become righteous. But the thing is that if you're not a Christian and I share the gospel with you, It's not as though my righteousness becomes less if you become baptized, you know. So I still maintain the full righteousness of Christ through faith, and I don't get less of it if more and more people become Christians. But the odd thing about this weird sort of secular religion of sexual progressivism is that the way you become righteous is by screaming in defense of some group that nobody else is defending. But the problem is that the more you scream in defense of them in order to make yourself righteous, then the more you convert other people over to your cause, and then the more people convert to that, then the less righteousness you get from defending that cause, so you have to move on to something new. It's probably somewhat similar to music, where it's like if you're a little bit of a music snob and a hipster, so you talk about the bands that you like, that no one else knows of, and then people come to discover them, and then you have to discard them because they're now mainstream and people like them, and you have to find new music that no one else has heard of, and this is eventually why you get to the point where hipsters just listen to really, really terrible music because it's the only thing left that nobody else was listening to, and you get the same thing with this where you know a little bit ago we were screaming about gay marriage, and then a bunch of people embraced that cause and said, "All right, well, we have to move on to transgenderism." And the more you scream, the more you're gonna force people over to that side, either through compulsion or just through people not having any sense of why they should oppose it. And then and next we'll be getting into incestuous relationships and polygamous marriages, or what they call polyamorous relationships. And then eventually we'll get to the point where you'll see normalizing, bestiality and pedophilia and things of this nature, just simply because people are, it's like a vampire sucking the blood, the righteous blood out of a cause, and then once you've drained it all, you got to move on to something new.
Well, I have no doubt that that's the future we're facing here, probably within, I don't know, maybe the next 6 months, because this thing has accelerated so quickly. But at some point, you do run out of causes. You do run out of deviancies at some point. You do hit a wall where you can't. And then kind of the illogic of all of it, and I think transgenderism is actually a hand grenade that's been thrown into the sexual revolution with the pin pulled, and we're just waiting for it to go off because it says gender is totally a mental construct, whereas, say, polygamy doesn't. It kind of depends on there being two genders. I guess you could play with it. Is there an end point to all of this, either running out of causes or becoming so self-refuting that people just kind of start babbling incoherently?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously we can kind of see where this is all going. As a friend of mine once said, you always know what's next on the list, and whatever is next on the list is the thing you were just mocked about 5 seconds ago for about saying, oh, this is going to be next, and they go, oh, that's a ridiculous slippery slope fallacy, and then 5 minutes later they've already embraced that cause. So yeah, I mean, it seems like we should in the not too near future kind of run out of this stuff, and who knows kind of what's coming next. My hope is that from a spiritual perspective, that what you'll find is you'll just find people eventually they get tired of flailing, and people tend to flail around most violently when they're at their most desperate, and certainly my hope is that as people embrace just insanity and the most vile of perversions, and seek to sanctify them and bless them and call them holy, that this will just be like a drug addict hitting rock bottom and then just getting to the point where they just see this is not the way and they need a better answer. And hopefully in those moments there will be someone there to preach the gospel to them and show them that true righteousness doesn't come from within them but comes outside of them from the blood of Christ.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. Creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Why Transgender Advocates Don't Believe Anything They Say. You'll find a link to it and these other resources at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. As we do on Thursday afternoons, it's time for the series Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be there in the Old Testament, right in the middle of it. Proverbs 8, Wisdom's Call, after this.
It is more important to know what the Reformation retained than what it overthrew.
Dr. Larry Rast talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Charles Porterfield Croft made that statement back in the 1800s, but it remains true for us today. The Church's job is to confess faithfully, and simply to overthrow error does not establish truth. What we are about is confessing biblical truth. And what this conference promises to do is to help us recover that for an age that desperately needs to hear that truth.
You can meet and hear Dr. Larry Rast making the case for the conservative Reformation June 10th and 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.